In Chicago, two comedian skeptics named Andy and Art were mysteriously abducted by the illusionary mastermind and conspiracy theorist known only as Mr. Bunker. The following serves as a record of Bunker's attempt to convince non-believers of the truth about conspiracies and paranormal activity. Andy and Art give an uninterrupted presentation and verdict on the plausibility of these offbeat topics, delivering what they call the whole enchilada. Will Mr. Bunker convince these two skeptics any of this is real? Will it convince you?
Welcome to Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time Podcast. As always, I'm your co-host, Art Stone. With me as always, look at him. You can't. This is his audio. It's Andy Hart, your co-host, Andy Hart.
Here he is, Mr. Podcast co-host.
Andy, I don't want to sound rude, but you're looking like absolute crap. You look horrible.
Well?
You look tired. You look hangry. You look, I don't know. There's just that sparkle is not in your eyes.
I've had a real rough go of things lately, Art.
Let me know. What's going on?
Yeah, I got up to make some breakfast. And I found out that all of my breakfast goods.
Oh my God.
Had been taken from my home.
You had no breakfast this morning.
There was like a thief in the night. Normally, every day for breakfast, I have the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
3 chocolate dipped croissants, half a dozen eggs, a rasher of bacon. I have 2 sausage patties. I make my own. I make like a little egg McMuffin deal, mm-hmm. but where the sausage patties are the bun and the egg McMuffin is in the middle. So it's a whole egg McMuffin. It's just uncut egg McMuffin,
mm-hmm.
2 sausage patties, and 4 slices of cheese, 2 on each side, and 2 in the middle. And
you're like Gaston, but with irritable bowels.
Right, right. I drink a glass of hollandaise and I have an entire cantaloupe.
That's the only one I actually believe out of that, is that you do drink a glass of hollandaise. Well, Andy, don't you fucking know that breakfast is the most important meal of the day?
Yeah, I do know that it's the most important meal of the day.
Well,
it's the first of 5 meals I eat every day.
5th meal.
Yeah, Taco Bell sold. They should have.
They didn't go far enough.
Look, I don't want to criticize Taco Bell, but I mean, fuck you, Taco Bell. Try having a little ambition. There's such a thing as 5th meal. It's when you wake up in the middle of the night, exactly halfway between when you went to sleep and when you're supposed to get up.
Right.
And you have an entire meal, a 3-course meal.
Well, Andy, I
always have a hot pot of soup going overnight so I can have that. I have.
So you have Chinese hot pot.
Right, right.
For your 5th meal.
And you have to pick something that's not going to dry out. So I like to do bone in chicken or pork chops.
God.
Keep them warm in the oven.
That's disgusting.
And you want a nice salad. I like something with a mayonnaise based dressing. Okay. Or maybe a nice casserole, broccoli, cheese, green bean casserole. Ooh, baby.
Well, Andy.
The gloopier, the better.
5th meal aside.
It gets you through the late night hunger pangs.
Sure.
There's nothing worse than waking up at 3:30 in the morning. You got to pee. And you're like, oh my God, I haven't eaten for 2.5 hours.
Right.
And I am so famished.
Wow. Well, Andy, breakfast is truly an important meal. Well, I can't describe whether 5th meal is important or not, but
it is.
But okay. But breakfast is truly
doctors
important.
Approved.
And I think today's topic would agree with you because we're talking about pig-stealing, pancake-making aliens.
We're talking about short-order cook aliens here.
That's true. And they think breakfast is an important meal. We got 2-for-1 special for you.
We are talking about extraterrestrial visitors from whatever that planet was where in one of those prequels where there was that alien that owned a diner and also appeared to be some sort of
I think that was
retired Secret Service.
Drexter Dexter. I think his name was Drexter Dexter.
Very greasy, very unsettling right. 5 o'clock shadow on that extraterrestrial.
I think that was either on Coruscant or Cloud City.
It seemed like it was on Coruscant, right?
They had in the Star Wars universe, they had a 1950s style diner.
Right.
Why would they not?
Well, you know, part of the cultural heritage of the Star Wars galaxy.
Sure.
Is the Jersey Shore.
Is the Jersey Shore 1950s.
Right. that streamline chrome diner, neon lights.
In a galaxy far, far away, long time ago.
Look, the more that thing, look, we're all made of the same matter, right?
Right.
It was inevitable that every other culture of advanced beings in our universe would develop some sort of 1950 style diner.
Of course. And it's inevitable today, Bugfuckers, that if you want to skip ahead to when you can learn about these, this two front, two,
it's inevitable. You will skip the next part of the podcast.
There's two alien encounters in today's whole enchilada that we got for you. Two different stories of aliens that involve breakfast.
These are close encounters of the pork kind.
Very true. And maybe even the mutton kind. And, you can find the timestamp in the show notes,
right,
where you can skip right ahead. But because first,
right, if you're a greedy little pig and you want to root around for the whole enchilada on this topic,
why not
skip ahead?
Because first, Andy and I, we got to tell you about how we got abducted from the to the bunker. How Mr. Bunker abducted us this week is what I'm trying to say.
I'm going to say woof, but I feel bad saying it because
yikes.
I mean, apropos
whoop
to this abduction.
Bunkfuckers, if you aren't familiar, Andy and I have become obsessed, I think that's the word to use, with a little free-to-play game. This is not an ad.
This is an ad.
It sounds like one, but I promise you
we understand there's been some confusion about when we mention a product, if it's an ad or not.
I think if it is an ad, we will mention that it's an ad. If it is not an ad, it happened organically.
It
we
does
promise.
Make me wonder, what could we get away with?
That's true.
As far as ads versus not ads.
That is true. But this is, we've become obsessed with a game called Super Auto Pets.
Super Auto Pets. Available for the low, low price of free.
It's
you
free.
Can go, you can play it on your web browser. It's available in Steam, free to play.
Right.
There's an app. I have the app on my mobile device.
Right.
So it's called Super Auto Pets.
Right.
It is it's your standard battler, auto battler kind of a game. You select a lineup of five pet friends,
little critters
that come from across the landscape of the animal kingdom.
Right.
You start off with some shit animals that people fucking hate, just like in real life. Ants, crickets,
horses,
fish,
pigs,
beavers, pigs.
I'll take a beaver occasionally. So this is, if you've never played this before, it's like Hearthstone. It's like Magic the Gathering. Each little critter has an attack and a health.
It has some sort of attribute, you know, that it's some benefit that it gives. There's no animal that does nothing.
Right. And Andy and I have just become.
Although the duck is close.
That's true. Ducks are fucked.
Like, if I see a duck, I'm like,
I never fuck with a duck.
If I get three ducks, I'll just throw my phone out the window.
You abandon game.
Forget it. I did get a warning message that I was abandoning too many games.
And did you really?
They might blacklist me or something.
Wow.
I don't like this role.
Oh my God.
Didn't realize there was a limit.
Jeez, you're a little rage quitter. I power through.
Yeah, I'm a rage quitter.
Wow.
I do everything because of rage or anxiety.
Well, Andy and I have become quite obsessed with this little game.
Oh my God, it's
battling
taken over
these
our
little
lives.
Critters and having fun trying to build the best comp, the best teams.
Yeah, we've been watching hours and hours of YouTube videos, watching people's different compositions on their teams.
Right.
Looking when's the best time to roll the dice. What power up should I freeze? Which one should I freeze? When should I upgrade? What sort of lineup should I set?
That Andy and I have just become so obsessed with this game that actually, we wanted to make it in real life.
Playing it in the app is fun. Playing it online is fun, but it's like we're like Ash Ketchum.
Yeah,
we don't want to just be restricted to our Game Boys. We want to get out there and do some fucking exploring.
That's right.
So we did the only thing that makes sense in this situation. Went to the Lincoln Park Zoo. We started battling animals. Just like Super Auto Pets, it's free to go, free to play. Cost you nothing to get in.
We're a little ashamed to admit it, all right? Yes. This is us forcing animals to fight each other. Let me just say,
this is not an ad for the Lincoln Park Zoo.
This is not an ad for the Lincoln Park Zoo either. And also, let me just say this, that we do not encourage this because it totally fucking sucks.
It's not.
You should nothing like the game.
You shouldn't do it. It's not a good idea. It's bad for you. It's bad for the animals. This turned into a complete disaster.
Well, I just think that the meta is so, it's so broken. This whole game is so, it needs a patch. The tiger is so OP.
Yeah.
I played a tiger. It fucking tore your rooster to shreds.
The tiger, all it's supposed to do is give the friend ahead an extra ability. I had all these roosters going up against. I'm like, this will be no problem. Because And then the tiger just ripped their heads off. And where were the chicks? There were no chicks spawning.
The mosquito didn't shoot rocks. Mosquitoes don't shoot rocks. They just bit my ass.
It flew away. It quit. The mosquito quit. I said, you got to go after this rhino. And it quit. It flew away.
I can't believe this. I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm punching this camel's hump over and over and over again. I'm punching this camel in the hump, kicking that big old hump. The fucking turkey behind it wasn't getting any stronger.
Yeah.
It was still a little dumbass turkey.
I had a level 3 ant, and you're telling me that a beaver's going to eat it? I don't know. Thank you.
I don't buy
that.
And it
didn't buff the rest of my team?
No. So after all the carnage and bloodshed, you know, I think we kind of realized, like, we decided, you know, fuck this. This is not fun.
Yeah.
You know, this is not, we should just stick to the, you know.
Plus, there were so many animals that aren't in the game. And it's like, I don't know what they do. So Super Auto Pets, I mean, get it together. There are a lot of animals you haven't accounted for.
I know.
For.
I'm looking at this polar bear and I'm trying to be like, what's your ability? What do you do? And it's like, you know, trying to fucking swipe at me. It scratched up my shirt. Right. Fucking like broke my bones. Yeah. Like, you know, a couple of these things. And I was like, this is fucked up, dude.
Yeah.
This is not cool.
Where's the condor? What's the condor's ability? I don't know.
Yeah.
I kept trying to see if there were more condors inside of it because birds seem to have a thing of copying.
Right.
There were no more condors
inside. I couldn't really get a hold of any of the bugs' abilities because I kept stepping on them when I was trying to inspect them. Yeah. I was like, what is this thing doing? Right. You know, it was so fucked up. It's like, what the fuck is this game, you know?
Yeah.
Whoever is managing this shit, you know, whoever. I mean, fucking God needs to release some fucking patch notes because some of these characters are so OP.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
You're right. The game is great. It's real life that sucks. And I think it's about time that animals get an upgrade.
Yeah.
So that they're more like Super Auto Pets.
That being said, you know, you're probably wondering, okay, Andy Narwhal, well, then how did you get to the bunker if you guys were just playing real life video games all day?
Well, let me answer that question for you, Bunkfunkers. I mean, not so hasty, okay? We're getting to it. It's a whole story we're trying to tell here. So then, of course, you know, so many animals get released from their cages and these alarms are going off. It's pandemonium.
Literally, the pandas are all over the place.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they do.
No, we have no idea what the pandas do.
You know, probably a tier 1, tier 2 animal. I'm not, you know, I'm not taking it. I'm not buying it.
Right. I don't buy the panda as being OP, frankly. And
there's no melons inside the turtle.
No, we cracked them open.
There's just blood.
We cracked them open. None in there. It didn't boost. The ox watched so many of our friends die and never got a buff.
I love that ox exhibit at the zoo.
Yeah, the ox exhibit.
There's nothing cooler than looking at oxes. Oxen.
You laugh, but it's there.
Is it really?
It's not like just an ox. It's like a, I think it's like a Szechuan ox type of
dog. Oh, Szechuan sauce? Oh, I turned myself into a pickle.
Funniest shit I've ever seen.
Funniest shit I've ever seen, dude.
So, of course, we get the attention of this really buff zookeeper.
Oh, my God. This fucking buff zookeeper.
Who comes over and it's classic. It's like a cartoon zookeeper. He's got the like safari, the khaki kind of.
It's just like a Steve Irwin.
It's winter.
Type.
He's wearing like shorts and knee high socks and boots, and he's got a great big net, the biggest net I've ever seen.
Benny Hill starts playing.
Yeah. And it goes, and he goes, you guys can't be in here. And he's smoking a cigarette, and there's cheeseburger flying out of his mouth the whole time.
He's got a cheeseburger.
And so he starts chasing us around, and, you know, we're slipping on animal guts and falling down. And he just scoops us up in the big net. And he says, you're done for. I'm going to get you. You're banned from the zoo.
It's like, nice try, motherfucker. Turns out it was the titular Mr. Bunker. I mean, you know, whatever. Call us fucking idiots. Maybe we should have seen that coming. But I was too blinded by rage at real life Super Auto Pets. Was you know, just a total flop.
Yeah.
Much like the level 3 fish I had, which didn't do anything besides flop on the floor.
Right. You expect
what the fuck?
I fed that fish so many pears.
Yeah.
I'm expecting it to tank a little bit. It does nothing. Flop on the ground.
So Bunker captured us in a big old net, put us in the fucking thing. You know, what are you gonna do? I guess we'll stick to just the video game version until the real life version gets patched.
Yeah. And until bullshit. Yeah, and a lot until of bugs. Our pending charges.
Yeah. And those pending
city
charges.
City of Chicago get resolved.
Yeah.
We're both in serious legal trouble for.
Yeah, you know, I think it'll all wrap up.
Yeah.
I think people will get over it.
I think
we'll issue an apology.
Right.
We'll eat some onions before, so it looks like we're crying. We'll just put it up on like YouTube or something. We'll issue an apology. It'll all be good. Yeah, it'll all blow over.
If anything, we proved the fallacy of the zoo model.
True.
These animals aren't meant to live together. In the same enclosure.
They're not. And the fucking and just the scaling is all off. You know?
Right, right.
So
Super Auto Zoo. Super Auto, stick to Super Auto Pets. Super Auto Zoo.
To Super Auto Pets. Don't touch Super Auto Zoo.
Yeah.
But you know what you should touch, Andy?
Yourself. Because,
okay. Well,
masturbation is healthy.
All right. To an extent.
Right.
Within moderation.
Look, everything in moderation.
Now, this is an ad for masturbation.
This is. Yeah, this podcast is sponsored by Masturbating.
No, Andy, what you should touch is that Bunk Tech Bunker Alarm 2000, because we got another bunker alarm.
We got a bunker alarm. Bunkers, I am stunned.
Stunned.
We've been doing this podcast for like a month, and people are coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
They're so pleased to be members of this podcast.
I know.
Join the exclusive club of Bunkers Chosen.
It's crazy.
The Bunk Funker ranks, the proud patrons of this show. And this week we have another, a great Bunk Funker to say thank you to. For their support of this podcast. So please join me in thanking Mr. Ponies.
Mr. Ponies. Thank you, Mr. Ponies.
Mr. Ponies, thank you for giving us your support,
patronage.
Thank you for giving us plus one attack for the duration of the battle.
That's right. That's what the horse does.
So, Mr. Ponies, for you, we're going to ring the Bunk Tech Bunker Alarm 3000. I'm going to just go ahead and flip it on and see what we can get into
today.
Okay,
let's see what we get into. What kind of mischief is going to happen here? Click, click.
It's got one of those, like, pull strings for a light bulb.
Okay. It's quite gentle.
Yeah, it's on now.
Normally, it is? Okay, normally it's very loud and it rumbles. But this time, I guess it was just nice and quiet.
Yeah, I don't know. Mr. Bunker must do upgrades to this machine every week. It's always a little bit different. Do you ever notice that? That it's always a little bit different?
I have noticed that.
It seems like there's a lot of modification going on. I mean, you know, it could use some nitrous.
I would love to see fucking NOS.
Yeah. I would love to hear this thing really loud.
Let's hear this baby purr.
All right, let's see. Okay, Mr. Ponies. You know, maybe I'll get like a horse themed.
Get a horse themed one.
All right, let's see.
Sound like you were slurping.
Oh, here's a horse one.
Oh, here's a horse one. We got a horse.
Yeah, this is a horse one.
Like horse.
All right, let's load this up.
Wow, we've loaded it.
So, Mr. Ponies, thank you again.
There's a bunker alarm in the chamber.
Watch out.
Safety's off. Watch out, Mr. Ponies. Those legs better not be broken.
The bunker alarm.
We're gonna have to put you down with this bunker alarm.
The bunker alarm is loaded. Firing torpedo. So Mr. Ponies, this bunker alarm is for you. Let's play it in 3, 2, 1.
Wow.
Very horsey.
Very horsey and definitely didn't sound like a creepy goblin laughing.
Yeah. This
bunker, much more horse.
This bunker alarm was not horsing around.
Oh, baby.
I mean, hey, this was a good one.
You won't be saying nay to that one, Mr. Ponies, but hey, we won't be saying nay to you, and we thank you again for your support. Thank you for being a bunk funker. If you would like to get your own bunker alarm just like Mr. Ponies, you can, of course, find them at patreon.com/MrBunkerPod. 2 extra episodes a month on our Patreon-only feed, over 40 hours of content on there, access to the Bunker Discord.
Exclusive centerfold photo shoots of both me and Art. Pending.
Asterisk. Pending. We choose to release those when we want.
Terms and conditions may apply.
No feet pics, Pedro! God damn it.
Pedro, have you been asking for feedback?
He's been asking for feedback, and he's not going to get them. Just kidding. Maybe. We'll see. Anyway, we're getting silly here. Thank you again to Mr. Ponies. And thank you again to you, Bunk Funkers, for listening, tuning
in. Thank you, Bunk Funkers.
I think you're going to enjoy this one.
This is a fun episode.
We've got two for one deal.
Oh, you know what? Actually, this Bunk Tech Bunker Alarm 3000 machine is just too quiet. I got to turn it off.
Okay.
Let me just go ahead and flip the switch to turn it off.
Okay. Well, okay. I don't know what he's been doing to this thing, but
that seemed, it was disconcerting.
Something's broke.
I hope I didn't. Oh, well.
Oh, Jesus. Fix it. You break it, you buy it, Andy. So here's the deal. I don't know. Fucking here's the episode. All right. Whatever. I forget what I'm supposed to fucking
look,
say.
Look, do you want an episode or not?
These are pig stealing, pancake making aliens here on Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast.
Woo! Aliens.
Bunkfunkers, you're probably not in the know, but, well, it's actually International Podcast Co-host Sweetest Day.
That's right, Art.
Okay.
And I know we said no gifts this year.
We did.
But I really wanted to get you something special.
Come on.
But I have no money to get you what you truly deserve, your very own whole enchilada-sized topic. So, well, I sold my prized golden fork, yes? The very same golden fork that I first used to eat my very first gallon of clam linguine.
Wow.
And, yes, the very same golden fork with which the EMTs performed an emergency airway puncture to dislodge said gallon of clam linguine after I started choking on it. And, yes, the very same fork with which I used to eat up the dislodged gallon of clam linguine, which the paramedics had just removed from my throat. Choked on the clam linguine, gallon of it.
Uh-huh.
Paramedics had to puncture my airway with the fork.
Puncture your trachea.
In order to dislodge it.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the ground.
Uh-huh.
I had a punctured trachea.
You were hungry.
I ate the gallon of clam linguine. That fork, my golden fork, my prized golden fork, I sold that get you the gift of the whole enchilada.
Andy, I'm touched, truly, but I have nothing to eat this whole enchilada with. You see, I sold my most prized possession, my sacred Italian spoon, the one given to me by my Italian ancestors, passed down through the generations. This, you know, the sacred spoon that was said to have been blessed by Saint Cannoli himself, patron saint of cannolis.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be him.
Peace be with him.
And the sacred spoon, which is said to have kept the curse of the Gabagool at bay. And now that I've sold it, I've doomed myself and all my next of kin to a lifetime of torment by the evil spirit of the Gabagool. I sold it to get you your own whole enchilada topic for today.
Wow.
Wow.
So you got me a whole enchilada, but I can't consume it. And I got you a whole enchilada, and you can't consume it. Wow. It really is a classic International Podcast Co-host Sweetest Day fable.
It's so classic.
This is the meta of International Podcast Co-host Sweetest
Day. That's right.
Well, we shouldn't let these whole enchiladas go to waste, Art. Let's spread the joy with the Bunk Funkers in a jam-packed 2-in-1 whole enchilada special this week.
That's right, Andy. We've got two tales of alien abduction for you, Bunk Funkers. And the first, well, this was my little gift to Andy.
Oh, boy.
That's right. It's a wild alien encounter about a couple of pig-stealing aliens.
What? Art, what?
I mean, yeah, it's the pig-stealing aliens of Tappan, North Dakota.
Art, I don't like this topic very much. I don't think stories like this are funny.
Well, who said it's funny, Andy? I mean, come on. It's for the Bunk Funkers.
I'm doing this for you, Bunk Funkers.
That's the spirit of International Podcast Co-host Sweetest Day. Now, this first encounter brings us to Tappan, North Dakota, a very small town between Bismarck and Fargo. I think about 60 miles to the east of Bismarck, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Closer to Bismarck than it is Fargo.
Fact checkers, check that out.
Check that out. In 2019, the census recorded that the town only had a population of 197. Very small town. But our alien encounter takes place in 2006. In the early morning of September. I mean, I
population of 197. Yeah. Very small town, but it's the fifth most populous municipal area in North Dakota.
I don't think the population has changed much. This takes place in 2006 on the early morning of September 12th. Evan Brees, then 16, woke up to get a glass of water. God damn, does anything slap harder than getting a fucking nice glass of water when you first wake up? Oh, fuck. God damn, so nice and cold. Ooh. Now, the Brees family, they were cattle farmers, but they also raised hogs. Andy?
People like the Breeses do God's work, Art. Raising pigs? It's a noble profession.
I mean, you know. Anyway.
They're salt of the earth.
Okay. You feel very attached to this because, of course, famously...
These are good people.
You're from the Bay of Pigs.
These are good people.
Right. Evan and his sister obviously helped in the family obligations of, you know, raising these hogs. And both had grown, you know, grown quite fond of a few of these girthy porkers. I don't know. Is that what people refer to pigs as? Girthy porkers?
I think maybe authors in certain genres do.
Okay. The books I read, they do.
Yeah.
Pigs, as delicious as they are really smart and emotional creatures. And some of these hogs, honestly, they were more like pets to Evan and his sister. Oh,
they're such good animals.
They are. And on the morning of September 12th, when Evan woke up, he heard something moving in the pig corral. Thinking it might be a coyote or some predator attacking his hogs.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. Evan grabbed a .22 caliber rifle from the equipment shed and headed into the corral.
Oh, my God.
Now, it was still the twilight hours at this time, and all he had to see was from the moonlight. But there in the pig corral, Evan saw two strange creatures, which he later described as being between 8 and 9 feet tall. And they were doing something to his hogs.
No, no!
Andy, I know, Andy. But Evan Brees was there to protect his hogs and chew bubblegum. And he was all out of bubblegum.
Oh, thank God.
So he aimed his rifle and he shot one of the creatures, which he believes he hit, because a moment later, it let out a loud, unearthly scream.
Yeah! Take that, you fuck!
But hey, here's a clip of Evan describing the creatures in his own words in an interview on the Earth Files podcast.
What exactly were you seeing with your hog?
They were messing around with her.
What were they doing and what did they look like?
Fairly tall. Dark, you know, from what I could see, because they were pretty much had shadows cast on them, and real skinny looking, and had these big hands on them. I couldn't see what their feet looked like.
Did you have a flashlight?
No. Well, we got a big yard light in our yard here. You know, it shines all the way pretty much around the yard and up in the corral a little ways, so I could kind of see them in a way. Because when I go up there to feed my pigs at night, I could kind of see them.
What did the hands look like?
Just long. With those claws on them.
What did the claws look like?
Like hooks.
Like curved hooks or long blades?
Kind of like a combination of both, really. Like hooks and combined in a blade. Whatever they were made for, they were made to really do some tearing, you know, or cutting.
Can you now remember anything you specifically saw these entities doing with your pig?
I think she was dead at the moment. I didn't see when they killed her. Just seen when they were kind of moving her around.
Were they moving her around with a piece of equipment or dragging her or what?
They were obviously using them claws in their hands. I think they were hooking her and kind of pulling her. And I walked up to the gate. I don't know what drove me to do it, but I jumped in there right away and shot one of them. And kind of hopped around and made this funny noise and just a weird screech.
Was it high-pitched, low-pitched?
It was fairly high-pitched, but not extremely high-pitched. It was a mixture between high-pitched and low-pitched. It was just a strange sound.
And was it like a scream or something else?
Like kind of a holler, kind of, but a kind of a high-pitched holler.
Mm-hmm.
Like not like us humans holler when we get hurt. It was strange.
One of the creatures then lunged at Evan and grabbed him and threw him to the ground, causing Evan to black out. And not like how I black out at toga parties. Evan didn't have one sip of Keystone Light and then trip and fall on his toga. That's how I pass out. He got attacked by a strange creature and fell on his head. When Evan awoke some time later, he saw that Ruthie, a 450-pound pregnant sow, was gone. Vanished. Sorry, I promised I wouldn't do this.
Andy, come on.
I'm okay.
He's holding back tears here, Buckbuckers.
Oh, God, sweet Ruthie. Bless you and your sacrifice.
Never forget.
Okay. Evan ran to his sister, Trista's house, which was only a little bit away from their parents' house. Trista called Evan's parents, and shortly thereafter, the entire family gathered at the scene of the pignapping, along with the Kidder County Sheriff's deputy, or the Kidder County Sheriff himself.
The actual sheriff.
The actual sheriff, Doug Howard. Evan retold them all the story of what had happened, and his tale seemed legit, given the fact that the shirt he was wearing was in tatters, and he had a horrible, splitting headache. The sheriff said the family then parted ways, and eventually, the search for Ruthie was called off. Unable to reach a conclusion about what happened to the poor hog.
Several days later, Evan went under hypnotic... Oh, jeez. Andy, get a tissue, please.
All right.
God.
Gross. Oh.
Oh, good Lord. Several days later, Evan went under hypnotic regression treatment with Minnesota hypnotherapist Craig R. Lang to help recover some memories of what transpired that morning. He was able to draw more details from the encounter. Now, what he learned after hypnosis was that there was actually 5 entities in total in the corral that morning, and 2 of them were, you know, dragging what appeared to be an already dead hog when Evan happened upon them and shot one in cold blood. Maybe not in cold blood, but in pig defense. But this wasn't the first or last strange alien encounter from Tappan or even the Brees family. Earlier in April of 2006, Evan was out at night with his cattle dog, Buster, and they were checking out on the cows during calving season when they noticed a strange flashing glow. So the man and best friend duo decided to go scope it out and walked over a nearby hill to get a better look. They saw what appeared to be an object of some kind scanning a water hole with an intense beam of light. The object was said to have been some kind of triangular craft, which Evan said was about 40 feet long and 20 feet wide. The duo stared at the strange sight, but then Buster started after it barking at the object, which then jettisoned off into the sky with a loud sonic boom. Evan's father, Tori, said the noise was so loud, it even woke up his wife.
Evan's mom hasn't been sleeping long. It's all she wants, and she's waited for so long. Evan, can't you see these UFOs aren't for she? I don't think it's very wrong, but let's keep the volume down for Evan's mom.
Cool. The Brees family wasn't done with alien encounters just yet. In July of 2006, Tori Brees, Evan's dad, witnessed a strange sight when he was giving a neighbor a ride into town. They both claimed to see a bluish light in the sky, which stopped when they stopped and moved when they began driving. He said they spent about a half hour watching it, and at one point, the object flew so fast, it went several miles in a matter of seconds. Tori linked this event to the one experienced by his son in April, but he, quote, doesn't indulge in fantasies about that strange things continue to happen, end quote. The only fantasy he does indulge in is his wife getting a good night's rest, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, seriously.
Jesus.
Myra Brees.
Yeah, let her sleep.
Let her sleep.
But Tori did also recall a story from a relative who was also a farmer in the Tappan, North Dakota area. They had a sheep die on their property under mysterious circumstances. When the vet examined the animal, he couldn't determine a cause of death at all, but did note something very strange. One of the sheep's testicles had been removed with extreme precision. Surgical precision. And there was no blood anywhere. Frankly, I'm normally associated with pigs, and for good reason, and I never thought I'd find myself associating with a sheep, but hey, here I am.
Now, could this be a bunch of aliens with a fascination for farm animals? Or what was going on in Tappan, North Dakota?
Well, Bunk Funkers, we hope you're still hungry because we got yet another whole enchilada-sized portion of breakfast alien encounters to dish up. And Art, this one is for you. An alien encounter involving some Italiano-looking extraterrestrials. Oh, Art, come on, buddy, it'll be fine. No over-the-top Italian impressions or anything. We'll just be chill.
Andy, I mean no disrespect, but I kind of have a hard time trusting you.
Listen, Art, come on.
Mamma mia, this fucking guy.
Our next breakfast alien encounter concerns one Joseph Simonton, a 60-year-old poultry farmer from Eagle River, Wisconsin, United States, Earth, the universe, Matrix Simulation Level 1. On April 18th, 1961, Joe was enjoying a late morning breakfast in his home when he heard a loud sound near his farm, some kind of strange sound that he couldn't recognize. Well, Joe looked out his window, and there he saw it, a giant silver disc just hovering over his backyard. He recalled the UFO measured at 4 meters high and 10 meters tall. Here's Joe himself recounting the craft.
And it was a big, huge thing, and I wondered what the heck it was. I was in my kitchen having a bite of lunch, and I turned around, put the dishes in the sink, and I looked out the window. And that's when I first saw this thing coming straight down, just like an elevator. And first I thought the roof went off of my house. And I thought, no, the roof is green and this is bright. What the heck is this?
Now, Joe was rather curious about just who the hell was on his property. So when he stepped outside and approached the disc, a hatch opened up and from it, three Italian-looking figures appeared. What the fuck is that supposed to mean, wow. Joe?
Wow. Italian looking.
That's how he described them. They look like Italians.
Thick mustaches. Chef's hats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, chef's hats.
Constantly kissing the tips of their fingers.
Right, right, right. Now, these aliens, he said, were about 5 feet tall, according to Joe, and wearing skin-tight clothes from head to toe.
Oh, Italian.
Yeah, very Italian. Then the aliens had some kind of vessel, like a bucket, I mean, not like their craft, like a bucket, and they were motioning for Joe to fill it with water.
Art, they were using wild hand gestures, much like yourself.
Watch yourself there, Andy. So Joe obliged and filled the bucket with water from a nearby water pump on his property and returned it to these aliens. I mean, so far, I gotta say, Andy, this is going all right. Someone asks you kindly for some water, what do? You oblige. That's a respectful thing.
Well, I mean, they didn't need to park on his property like that.
Well, I mean, they're not from around here, Andy. You know, they don't know. These are Italian aliens.
Okay, well, I mean, different customs and all, but hey, have a little respect.
When Joe returned the bucket, he caught a glimpse of the inside of their ship, which he said was totally dark, and that one of the aliens was at what appeared to be some kind of dashboard, and others were, quote, cooking over some sort of flameless grill. Maybe some future Weber tech.
Yeah.
The Weber flameless grill.
Yeah, maybe these are Italians from the future, and this was just the Weber flameless grill.
Maybe. I mean, what I think, though, is they were probably making some sort of delicious Sunday gravy, no less.
Well, afterwards, the creatures procured four, quote-unquote, pancakes, for lack of a better word, and handed them to Joe. They honestly look more like fried, even burnt, cheese.
Yeah, like when you burn cheese in the stove.
Yeah, you leave a cheese in the skillet, right, and it gets a little burnt.
Bubbly and burnt.
Yeah, yeah, my favorite kind.
That's good.
Now, because the little pancakes had all these little holes in them, that's why they kind of look like cheese more than
doesn't
a
really
pancake.
Look like a pancake.
Right. Now, after the the extraterrestrials closed the hatch, fired up the ship, slowly rose from the ground some distance, and then flew away toward the south. Joe watched in awe. To corroborate the incident, at the same time this occurred, a local insurance agent named Savino Borgo was driving near Joe's farm. I do.
No, Savino just a Borgo. Funny name.
Yeah, Savino Borgo. We got Joe and Savino. Savino Borgo, insurance agent, local insurance agent, Savino Borgo agency. This is an ad for Savino Borgo agency.
You think he's got a buy one insurance policy, a BOGO Borgo?
BOGO Borgo.
Buy one insurance policy, get one free?
The Borgo. Buy one, re-get one.
Oh, he probably hated being in business when Star Trek was popular. The Borg.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't help that he's shaped like a cube. So, To corroborate the incident, at the same time all of this pancake stuff is going on, a local insurance agent named Savino Borgo was driving near Joe's farm and also saw the strange flying saucer in the sky.
Wow.
Joe, however, was not impressed with this alien's cooking. He said the pancakes tasted like cardboard.
What?
The biggest insult you could ever give somebody. And Joe and his community decided this encounter was bizarre enough to call the U.S. Air Force about it, who investigated it as part of Project Blue Book.
Oh, what the fucking disrespect over here. These hardworking Italian aliens. They come down in their Italian spacecraft. They cook this prick a nice meal. And this is the thanks he gives. Let me tell you something. Back in my day, you gave respect to earn respect. Now, Gary Cooper, there was a man who knew the meaning of respect.
He was a ufologist, Gary Cooper?
No! Are you listening to me? This motherfucker, this fucking prick, these Italian aliens, they cook him a nice meal. And then he goes to fucking feds! You know, this shade of reticuli is Italian or something. I'm just saying. You want to tell me that Anunnaki is not an Italian word? That's Italian right there. Something. I don't know. But what are you going to do? These motherfuckers don't know how to fucking cook a pancake. They don't know how to cook a pancake.
Well, Project Blue Book, whatever happened there?
Whatever happened there?
Okay, well, they didn't find too much. But they did take some of the alien pancakes to investigate them. One of the alien's pancakes was given to a local judge by Joe, who vouched for his honesty and reliability. The second pancake was received by Dr. J. Allen Hynek, and the third one was handed over to the Food and Drug Administration by the Air Force. After some analysis, it was found out that the pancakes were made from completely earthly products. When the newspapers got a hold of the story, they mocked Joe and wrote about it in a derisive tone. But people who knew Joe believed him. The Air Force, however, did not. The case remained unsolved, but the Project Blue Book report concluded Joe mistook a dream for reality.
Well, bunkfuckers, we'd like to put forward our own conclusion to these alien encounter stories. Perhaps these were all the same aliens. I mean, pancakes, pigs, pancakes and bacon? Hello?
After all, bunkfunkers, breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
But for you, bunkfunkers, perhaps there's another meal to consider. One guaranteed to start your morning, afternoon, or evening. Or fifth meal. That meal is the whole enchilada. Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast will be right back after this brief message.
That's what ransomware is all about. It's psychological pressure.
Ransomware, when your computer's hacked into and your data held ransom. Attacks are on the rise, and Russian gangs are making billions of dollars.
The moment I got that message, I knew our greatest fears that we ever have are starting to come true.
The post-Cold War era is over.
.com, The Hacking. A new season from Crowd Network with me, Katie Puckrick. Just search for .com, that's D-O-T-C-O-M, and subscribe.
Hey, welcome back, Bunkfuckers. That was our research of pig stealing, pancake making aliens.
Pig, pancake.
Pig, pancake. I got my own little pig in a blanket here.
I gotta say,
Andy, a pig in a blanket. I'm just a big toasty cinnamon bun.
I'm just a big toasty cinnamon bun.
I gotta say, I like the pancake making aliens better than the pig stealing aliens.
Wow.
I can relate to the pig stealing aliens. Sure. We've all wanted to steal pigs.
Sure.
Sure, we've all wanted to cut off sheep's balls.
With precision.
Surgical precision, bloodless surgical precision.
Yeah.
And yeah, sure, we've all wanted to wake up Evan's mom when she's sleeping. But I guess I just relate more.
Fountains of Andy.
I guess I just think that these pancake-making aliens seem a lot nicer.
They do. They seem fun. They're Italian. They just want to munch. They just want to have a nice meal.
It's time that
they just want to have a nice meal.
You know, it's time that we consider that these weren't extraterrestrial aliens, but immigrant aliens. But these were just Italian immigrants.
So these are just extraterrestrial immigrants.
Like these were just people immigrating from Italy.
Right.
Travelers from Italy.
I think you've got like two classics here. You've got classic alien on a farm fucking around.
Animal mutilation.
You know, you've got hypnosis regression therapy to try and fucking extract a little bit more. Evan described the aliens. You heard it in the clip, Bunk Funkers, that they had these, they were tall and skinny. And they had these hook-like fingers, and they were doing something to that hog. What were they doing to this hog?
Right.
You know? Obviously, big part of aliens lore is that they want to make an alien-human hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
Who better than a pig, Andy?
Right. You need a pig embryo. Use that pig's uterus to grow your human alien hybrid.
Isn't it that pigs have a very similar DNA profile to like humans or something like that?
Yeah.
Our DNA is like spliced really well or something.
Well, Art, if you remember from our second ever episode on
That's
human
what
evolution,
I was trying to pull. Yeah.
We actually covered the possibility
of this show.
I've never listened to any episodes, actually.
Yeah.
But I remember that we talked about
it. I find this show repulsive. I hate the frat house chatter, the humor.
If I could give it a review, I've been banned from all review giving mm-hmm, websites, including mm-hmm. Yelp.
Right.
Because of abuse of the platform.
Sure.
For a variety of reasons.
Right.
Not completely all harassing other users, but mostly. I would give it 1 star.
Yeah.
And I would probably just say not funny.
What about pigs, though?
That
our second episode.
We look, the established idea of human evolution is that humans evolved from a common ape ancestor to ourselves, chimpanzees, bonobos. We share very much the same DNA as these apes. And that at
these
some
magnificent
point
apes.
We split off from this genetic lineage and became, through time and change, human beings to where we are today. And the idea with that episode was that there is a scientist whose name escapes me at the moment.
The name doesn't matter. He's an egghead.
Some egghead who said, I think it's possible that the human, because humans aren't like apes. We don't resemble.
Early humans fucked a pig.
That there was basically a group of chimpanzees.
Yeah. They were like, look at that pig.
And a pig lived in a group of chimpanzees. Chimpanzees fucked the pig. It bore a viable offspring, which then lived in the community of chimpanzees and then became a part of the chimpanzee culture.
Do you think that?
And that's what split off and became human beings. Chimp fucked a pig.
You're definitely that chimp.
Yeah.
You would be the chimp. Guys, we should fuck the pig. Everyone would be like, dude, I love the pig. I don't want to fuck them. The pig's our friend.
The pig's our friend. I'd be like, that pig is fucking sexy.
I'd be like, but look at its ass.
I'm going to either eat it or fuck it. You guys pick which one.
Yeah, you guys pick.
Why don't you talk to the pig? No
Why
way.
Are those the only other options?
No way. Pigs don't have language. Not like us. Chimpanzees.
The high
You can
society.
Talk to the pig. Go talk to the pig. No way.
No way. No how.
And I don't talk to pigs. I either eat them or I fuck them.
Well, I talk dirty to them. That's about it.
I'm going to make you squeal.
You say that whether you're eating it or fucking it.
It doesn't matter.
I think that
things
would be
you can say while
the aliens
eating and while fucking.
Steve Harvey.
Survey says
100%. A pig. I think, yeah, that's a good reason. Andy. What?
I can't believe you said Steve Harvey instead of Louis Anderson.
R.I.P.
Rest in peace, Louis Anderson.
What breakfast meal would you like an alien to prepare for you? And how should those aliens, what would you want them to do?
Oh, fuck. This is a very layered question.
I know. You got to think about it on the fly.
What would I like them to do to the food?
But I know you're experienced.
To the food?
No, but I mean, here's the thing.
How would I like them to present it?
Sure. These aliens just plopped right on down onto Joe's farm.
Right.
What are they doing for you?
What are they doing for me?
Plopping down on, you know.
Andy's farm. So they asked Joe for some water, and then they gave him some pancakes from their flameless grill. They made it with earth ingredients, which makes me question, did they come with provisions or were they foraging here on Earth?
I think they were foraging.
So it's
they were
really
trying to learn.
I don't think I would want them to cook for me then. Because they probably are shit at it.
You would refuse their fucking cooking?
I could cook better than them because they're cooking with my ingredients. They're on my turf now. It's like me walking into a restaurant and telling the chef, fuck off out of here.
I was about to say, very rude.
No. But that's like, I mean, it'd be like, you know, me, them coming here and telling me like, I know how to cook your food better than you. It's like, no, you don't.
I don't think they've said that. Why are you putting that on them?
I'm putting those words in their mouths.
You're projecting.
They're trying to be nice. And I get that. But I'm just saying, I should cook for them because I can do a better job than them.
So, okay, they're going to try and like, obviously they're going to try and get something from you. They need some kind of ingredient.
Yeah.
And you're just going to be like, no, no, I want to cook for you.
Yeah. I would be like, give me something better than your shitty food.
And so obviously you're going to get into some kind of, this is just, I can already see how this is not going to work.
I would say, give me technology.
All right. What are you cooking
give
for the aliens?
Give me knowledge.
What are you making for these aliens to impress them?
All right. It's breakfast time.
It's got to be breakfast.
All right. I'm going to do
standard breakfast, not Andy breakfast.
Okay. All right.
The savory oats bullshit.
My specialty.
Disgusting.
My specialty is a breakfast. And it's not even my favorite thing to have at breakfast, by the way.
I bet I know what it is.
What is it?
Hash.
No.
Eggs Benny?
No.
Fuck, I'm wrong. Okay.
Real easy. Scrambled eggs.
That's it?
That's my specialty.
Plain ass scrambled eggs.
They're not plain. There's a little bit of mayonnaise in there.
That's it?
And salt.
No carb to help soak up the egg.
No, I would make something else.
Okay, well, what are you making for the aliens?
Well, I'll just do them, I guess, whatever they want. You know, if they wanted some hash browns, sure, I have some potatoes I could fry up. You know what would be great, though? This is the best thing to make, because I think it's like...
One meal that you're presenting to the aliens.
It's a little elegant, but it's very easy, and it's a crowd pleaser.
Sure, okay.
I would make a frittata.
I think that's a great option.
Frittata. Because you can do a lot of different stuff. You could put anything in the frittata.
You're going to put a little shrooms in those frittatas?
So I'm not expecting aliens, so I just have to work with whatever I have.
Well, what's in your fridge?
You know what's always good in a frittata? I think spinach. I have some arugula in the fridge at home right now.
Not a fan, but
arugula
okay.
on top of a frittata would be great. Oh yeah, let's see.
I don't like.
We've got some feta. Feta's great in a frittata. Feta frittata. I have some muffaletta spread. That would be great in a frittata. Olives, spicy olives. Think about it.
I'd try it.
Let's see. You could throw in any kind of meat.
We got bacon. I know you have bacon.
I have bacon. I could put in there.
You have enough bacon for like 5 years.
I'm actually out right now.
No way.
Two strips are all I have in my house.
Jeez, how are you going to survive?
I don't know. I'm going to probably just die. Probably the only answer for me. But frittata is great because you could do whatever. It's very malleable. Fits to whatever occasion it is. Make them a nice frittata. It comes together fast. It's easy.
Okay, baked eggs. I think those aliens would like your frittata.
They would like it.
I think that's a good option. You're not going too fancy. It's not over the top. A frittata feels fancy, but it's not.
Breakfast is one of those meals that you can invest a lot of time in if you really want to.
Yeah.
And I think that can be stressful, and it makes a mess first thing in the morning. Pancakes? That's something I don't like to always do very much.
There's a lot of work involved with a pancake, even with the mix. Because you're making the batter, then you got the fucking, you got your fucking whisk you got to clean. Nobody likes cleaning a whisk. You got the big mixing bowl, then you got to grease your skillet. Then the first pancake's always fucked up. Always happens because, you know, it's all off. You're trying to judge. And then you got to flip. And it's, yeah, I wouldn't go pancakes. I wouldn't go.
No.
I wouldn't go pancakes.
Waffles, a little more reliable.
Maybe. Got a waffle maker.
But it's still the same thing. You got to mix a batter.
I think I would go, we made this the other day. Super easy. Shakshuka.
Oh, I love shakshuka.
Yeah. I'd make a shakshuka. I'd get all shakshuka up making a shakshuka for these aliens.
Oh. I'm all shook up.
And then I'd shake it, and then they'd be like, oh, we're getting out of here. They'd be like,
hot tomato sauce all over us. You know, the thing about shakshuka,
delicious,
is that I think that it could be easy to overcook the eggs, and it's very disappointing.
Well,
if your yolk's not running,
is it really that disappointing?
I get very disappointed.
Well, you're a baby.
If it's even medium, like cooked.
Come on.
I get kind of disappointed.
Even if it's a little jellied, it's going to happen.
I just don't like
it. It's residual heat.
I want it to be runny.
God so gross.
I want it running.
I get it because
I don't care if the whites are set even.
All right. You need to relax. You're fucking unhinged. You're unhinged.
If you need to be reined in. If they're a little runny, it's fine.
Somebody fucking call Brett Favre because we need to get you some Wrangler jeans to wrangle you in, man. Did he do Wrangler or did he do Lee Dungarees? I can't remember.
Sure, whatever he did.
Some football player did Wrangler commercials. I can't remember who.
I don't remember.
Either way, I'm going to get you a pair of Wranglers because I need to wrangle
you in. Was Brett Favre Lee, though?
Wrangle you in.
I don't know. He's probably Wrangler.
Wrangle you in.
But anyway, get Brett Favre down in here at Chuck Football's at me.
Bunkfuckers, you don't know what a is. Delicious. Stewed tomatoes, peppers, onions, whatever you want.
It's like tomatoes, onions, garlic, roasted red peppers. You make into a sauce, like cumin. thickened with pita.
And there's other spices. Look up the spices. I'm not going to fucking tell you. And then you just...
What are we, Martha Stewart?
What are we, fucking Martha Stewart? You crack a couple eggs in there, like six eggs, and you just fucking let that baby stew.
Let it steam in the tomato.
And then it's done. You eat it with bread. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Try it.
It's great.
Comes together so fast.
Yeah, it's great for any meal, too.
Great for like a brunch.
Yeah.
Too, to serve to lots of people.
It's very savory, so it's not like, you know...
Feels like you're getting a little bit... It's very rich. Feels like you're getting a little bit more than... I think we usually put goat cheese. I don't know if that's standard, but we'll crumple some goat cheese or some feta in there as well.
Yeah, I like feta on it.
Delish.
And my wife makes a cilantro olive oil serrano relish thing. Sauce to go on top.
I'd fuck with that.
It was delicious.
Well, maybe we'll have a shushuk off.
Shushuk. We're gonna get all shushuk up here.
We're going to shake up the society's view on shakshuka.
Yeah. Frittata, shakshuka, both good options.
Dude, a shakshuka? A shakshuka food truck? Hello?
Hi.
For free. Take that idea and run with it.
Yeah.
How easy is that?
Yeah.
Shit costs nothing. I'm serious. Think about it. You get like a bowl of shakshuka, maybe one or two eggs, different flavors, different sauces, get some good bread. Bunkfunkers, who are food chefs out there, take it for free. It's yours. Have it.
Yeah.
You get fun names. She shook me all night long.
I think
she shook me all night long.
My wife made a green shakshuka once that had like spinach in it. It was sort of instead of tomato based, it was green vegetable based.
Yeah. So about the red peps for green breps?
I don't remember what was in it. Sorry.
I feel like, though, if you take the tomatoes out, it stops being shakshuka.
Yeah.
What makes it shakshuka?
It's a great question.
Is it the stewing in tomatoes, or is it just the process of creating a stew and then poaching eggs in the stew?
For our Israeli listeners, let us know.
Yeah.
When does shakshuka stop being shakshuka?
Yeah.
If I...
Just shake up our fucking knowledge of shakshuka.
If I did one of my classic...
We're going to get so many messages over how I fucking pronounce shakshuka. I don't give a fuck. If you care how I pronounce fucking kayfabe, I'm going to say it. I said it once. I'll say it again. You're a fucking mark. And you can suck my nuts. You can suck my shakshukas. How about that? I'll say it however I want. These motherfuckers telling me how I fucking pronounce shakshuka. Christopher, get the eggs in the shakshuka.
It's my Tony Soprano.
Wow.
But remember, bugbuggers, I'm the unhinged one.
Yeah.
Yikes.
People come at me with the way I fucking pronounce things. And I'm just like, listen, it's part of the ambiance. Get over it.
Part of the ambiance.
I'm not going to stop. It's who I am. It's authentic me, authentic art. Like if I wrote a fucking book, there'd be spelling errors all over it. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it's true, bugfuckers. He would not use a proofreader. No, there would be no editor.
This is authentic. This is who I am. I don't pronounce things right. I don't spell things right. And I don't care. It doesn't matter. Get over it. Fucking aliens. You gonna abduct me? You enjoy my shakshuka.
Shakshuka. Shakshuka.
Sounds like the fucking Ferris Bueller song.
Oh, yeah.
Shakshuka.
Shakshuka. Oh, yeah.
Shakshuka.
Oh, basted eggs. That's what I would make for the extraterrestrials.
All right, bug fuckers, let us know what you would make for the extraterrestrials or what you hope they would make for you. Would you, you know, Andy, Furtada, me, Shashuka, let us know, bunk funkers. Email us, mrbunkerpod@gmail.com. Let us know what you would make for the aliens.
Yeah. But if they, I want to say, if they were bringing ingredients, then I would not cook for them. I would make them cook for me. Why not make them? But if they brought their own stuff from their own planet, I definitely want to try
it. Oh, okay. Okay. All right, Andy.
Is what I'm saying.
Jesus fuck. Why you make it so complicated?
I guess call me Avril Lavigne because I don't want to just say, yes, prepare Earth ingredients for me when you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
You want glip.
So I have some shit pancake that I give to a judge. And the judge says, yeah, it's a credible story.
What do you think about this pancake, Judge?
A fucking pancake all burnt, full of holes. They don't know what they're doing.
Goodness gracious. Well, I know you to be an honorable and reliable man, Joe Simington, but...
Your taste in pancakes leaves a lot to be desired.
Pancake looking sucks. So I like that story a lot more, but I believe it's so much less.
I love that the conclusion was, it was a dream.
I don't think it was because he has pancakes.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say, though. Maybe he was sleepwalking.
Did he sleepwalk and fuck up some pancakes?
I think he sleepwalk, fucked up some pancakes, and then woke up and was like, oh, fuck.
It's kind of scary, the number of things that people can do when they're sleepwalking.
I think that's within the realm of possibility.
Yeah. I don't think that that's... But isn't that scary to you, though, that someone could cook while they're sleepwalking?
Oh, my God. The idea of horrifying. Me waking up and turning on the stove in the middle of the night without realizing it, I get scared. I'm the type of person who... I fucking get in bed. I get off. I strip down to my undies because I don't sleep naked like some people who might co-host a podcast. We don't.
I stopped doing that. I have a child now. I can't afford my child to see me naked. I'm not Noah.
Okay, he stopped doing that. So now he's in my realm of sleeping in your underwear. Classic dad move.
I actually sleep in clothes.
Okay.
Shorts or pants. And a
full suit.
A button-up shirt, a tie, a jacket, and a hat.
And a hat.
I keep my shoes on just in case. I never be too prepared. What if there's a fire?
Full raincoat. I strip down to my undies. I get cozy in bed. I'm all washed up. I'm all brushed up my teeth. Then I sit there and I go, I turned the stove off when I was cooking fucking dinner like 8 hours ago. Oh, fuck. Oh, God. I sure hope I did. Restful sleeps all night.
Yeah.
That's me in a nutshell, bug fuckers. So the idea that I could wake up in the middle of the night.
Good for you for staying in bed, though. I always get up. I won't be able to let it go. I have to get up.
I got to check. So I've started checking multiple times. Like if I walk into the kitchen for some water, I go, yeah, stove's off. Both of those burners are off.
God forbid I should leave the door unlocked at night.
Well, I check those two.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I the idea that you could wake up in the middle of the night and turn on the stove, I mean, terrifying.
I have a confession. I used to sleepwalk.
What?
When I was a kid.
Did you bring this up on our sleep paralysis episode?
I don't know.
You might have.
I might have confessed this before, but if I haven't, wow. I'm confessing it now. I used to be a sleepwalker.
Big time lore reveal. You're hearing it here first, Spunkfuckers.
I was so bad that my family used to call me Texas Ranger. Sleepwalker, Texas Ranger. I did actually sleepwalk. That wasn't just for that horrible joke. It's very disconcerting, though. A lot of times...
What would you do?
Well, I didn't do a whole lot of stuff. So it's like me being awake.
I would sleepwalk and I would go sit on the couch and just kind of watch TV.
I think I would mostly just walk places and then just sort of lay down and go to sleep again.
That's funny.
So I would wake up in the middle of the floor in my parents' bedroom sometimes. And they would be like, they knew I was there. They just didn't want to wake me up because, you know, you're not supposed to wake somebody up when they're sleepwalking unless they're like a danger to themselves.
Cause then they fall asleep in their dreams.
Right.
And they sleep
and they
forever.
Never wake up.
They never wake up.
You can't wake up. So I would sometimes wake up in the middle of the floor in their bedroom. I would sometimes wake up on the floor in the living room.
Oh, wow.
I would wake up weird places and I wouldn't remember falling asleep there. And of course, nobody goes to sleep just in the middle of the floor, right?
Right.
So it was it was just weird stuff like that. But I guess my parents would see me like walking around the house in the middle of the night and stuff. Hmm. And that's just it. I would walk around. But I didn't do it for that long. It was only a couple of years.
You grew out of it.
Yeah, I grew out of it. I got so lazy that I couldn't even get up.
That's true.
My sleep.
That's really what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild. But I do honestly, I mean, not to get into verdicts, but, and maybe we could, but I don't really, yeah, I mean, with the tapping one, it's like, okay. You know.
We should do a whole episode on animal mutilation.
We should. We should talk about animals being mutilated. No,
it's a very wide topic. We talked about it. Skinwalker. Mm-hmm. This tapping thing sounds very skinwalkery to me.
Very skinwalkery.
It sounds very much like a Skinwalker Ranch type of deal.
Yeah. You know, you got tapping, little town, lots of little light sightings, yeah. UFO sightings. There's another story that Tory Breece, the father of Evan, talks about where he was driving his fucking motorcycle, but it doesn't have headlights, which is very dangerous, and he should not do that.
It was the middle of the night.
And so... Yeah, he literally is driving his motorcycle in the dark with no headlights. And then he like saw like...
There's not a lot of wildlife in North Dakota that could go across the road. So there's nothing for you to really see. It's not like an entire American bison could be in the middle of the fucking road. And you would die because you're on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Let me guess, he's probably wearing a very nice helmet, though. And he's... obviously... If you don't have a headlight, you're probably compensating by taking extreme precaution on all other things. There's probably no way that he was just riding around on a motorcycle in the dark with no headlight and no helmet or jacket or anything. And then if he got into any sort of peril, would have just completely scraped all the skin off of his body. There's probably no chance of that.
He just really liked that one song. With no headlights. How does it go?
The Jacob Dylan Wallflower song?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With me and Cinderella, we put it all together. We can drive it home with one headlight.
But that was one headlight. He had no headlights.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be into that song.
No. Not even Bob Dylan could get him a music career.
True. And he saw like a big craft fucking floating in the sky. So.
Oh, that were there?
Yeah, that's where that ended.
You know, the whole thing of regression analysis, though, or the...
Another topic.
Was it regression analysis? What do they call it? Hypnotic regression.
Hypnotic regression therapy.
That therapy. That sort of...
It's always a red flag.
Yeah. Makes me instantly go... Because there's too much... We've talked about it with Mandela Effect. There's just too much evidence that the therapist doing the regression hypnosis can plant the seed. And then that becomes the person's memory.
Right.
Because they've planted the seed when the person is in this open hypnotic state.
The aliens, they had long claws or hook-like claws?
Yeah. Were these aliens, did they have long claws on their hands or were they drinking white claws? We don't know.
No, I'm saying that's an example. Like you could be like, the
therapist just making a Song of Ice and Fire reference? Jorah Mormont's sword, the Mormont family sword, long claw.
What a nerd. good thing you invested all that time and effort into those books.
Good thing that I read those books because I can't wait for the thrilling conclusion.
Yeah.
Immediately after George R.R. Martin dies and somebody else finishes them because he's not going to fucking do it. I'll say it right here, Bunker. Spoiler alert, he's never finishing those. Like, first of all, look at him. The guy is not going to live for a long time. I mean... Medical technology is great, but this is a person who looks as unhealthy as I actually am. So there's no way that he is secretly healthy. He has diabetes, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Uh-huh.
He's invested all this time in all these other projects. He's never doing it.
He wrote himself into a fucking corner.
He can't get out of it. He needs some help and he won't get it.
Right.
He's so much like me. It's unreal.
You might be George R. R. Martin. I think that's what we
finish those books. Tyrion's sense of humor is about to take a weird turn.
He'd be like, yours would be a song of A Song of Pork and Garlic.
Oh my God, yeah.
That would be your book.
Oh, yummy.
Two favorite things. Well, Andy, should we get to some verdicts here?
Yeah, let's get to some verdicts.
Let's fucking snip this testicle out of this sheep. Get these verdicts out.
I'm going to give two verdicts. I'm going to give one for each story. I don't think it's I don't think it's fair to give one verdict.
I would shame you if you did any otherwise.
This is two plates of enchilada here. Yeah, a whole enchilada plates. Two for one special. And it's not often that you get the Borgo special here. Borgo special at Mr. Bunker's
Conspiracy Time Podcast.
The Bogo Borgo.
Borgo.
Buy one enchilada. Get one.
Hey, welcome down. It's the Bogo Borgo Bongo Sale. Buy one bongo, get one free.
Come down the Borgo's bongos, and we got Bogo bongos. Silvio Borgo's Bongo Emporium. Come down to Borgo's bongos. We got Bogo bongos.
Borgo's bongos, bongo.
You're going to go loco for the Borgo's bongos. Come on down to Borgo's bongos. You're going to go loco for a Borgo bongo, low, low prices. Today only, here at Borgo Bongos, we're giving away, we got special Hawaiian chef here. They're serving Loco Moco all day.
Loco Moco.
Come down to Borgo Bongos for our Loco low prices and our Loco Moco special.
Borgo Bongos.
Borgo's Bongos. I'm going to go tapping first the Brees family and their pig abducting sheep surgery flying around extraterrestrials. The hypnotic regression therapy is a red flag for me, but it's not just Evan. We got Dad in on this too. So maybe there's a little more to this than nothing. Overall, do I think it's extraterrestrials? Nah.
Where'd that fucking hog go, man? That's a big ass hog. What's dragging that hog away?
That's a big hog. It's not the biggest I've ever seen, but big hog. Poor Ruthie.
Fucking 450-pound pregnant hog.
Yeah.
Who dragged that hog away, man?
I'm guessing it's a rival hog farmer who needed some quick piglets. That's my guess. But you know what? I can't completely say that there's nothing happening here. I'm not sure that it's extraterrestrials. So I'm going to give this a shred. I'm going to give it a plausible molecule, okay? Because there could be something going on there.
Could be some creaky critter.
Could be international hog thieves targeting farmers in North Dakota. Think about it. You never thought about that. So for the pancake, Joe's Pancake House.
Joe's House of Pancakes.
Joe's House of Pancakes.
It's always a house of pancake. It's never like a yurt of pancakes.
I'm just going to go with my gut on this. Yeah, why isn't it a yurt of pancakes? It's always International House of Pancakes. Well, not everybody lives in a house, International yeah. House of Pancakes. International Pagoda of Pancakes sounds so much better. I pop.
Yes, what's your verdict for old Joe Simonton?
I'm going case closed. I think this was a sleepwalking thing. I just got to go with my gut. Yeah, he has the pancakes, but there's very little else to go on. I'm going case closed. I think he was sleepwalking. He made some pancakes. He knows Bogo Borgo. Bogo Borgo said, yeah, I saw a ship. Borgo was his insurance agent trying to make a big sale, new policy, re-upping his homeowners.
Sure.
Getting him some expansive like flood insurance or something.
UFO abduction insurance.
Yeah. Yeah. He fucked up and did some damage while he was asleep to his house, and Borgo was his insurance agent. He was like, God, I got a cover for this. So I'm saying case closed on Joe's pancakes.
Wow. Great verdicts, Andy. This might come as a shocker. I'm going case closed on both.
Wow. Yeah. He's shutting the door on the,
I think maybe that, you know, the Brees family, it was dark. He did not get a good look at what these creatures were. Could have been wolves. Could have been
Joe Nickel. Could have been black bears.
Could have been fucking black bears. Hooked claws. I mean, that's how Evan described the creatures as having hooked claws.
Could have been black bears.
Could have been fucking five hungry bears, three hungry bears. I mean, bears don't hunt in a pack, though. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
So maybe he thought it was multiple bears. Could have been just one big bear. Or it could have been a pack of wolves.
What if it was a mama bear and a cub?
Could have been a mama bear and a cub, and maybe he shot the cub and the mama bear fucking. The only thing that I would say is, though, is that I feel like that bear would have fucked his ass up. But maybe not. Maybe you shoot the cub and the bear's instinct is to just defend and then get away.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going pack of wolves.
Ooh. I'm then going again, pack of Marlboros. This was the work of the Marlboro man.
And go pack of smokes.
Pack of wolves.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think this was aliens. Another
Skinwalker Ranch connection.
Another Skinwalker Ranch wolves. could have been the giant,
wolf,
giant bullet wolf,
bulletproof wolf.
Great
band.
And then for Joe Simonton, I also agree. I think it's sleepwalking. And I'm gonna go case closed on that. So,
wow,
Bunk Funkers. Those were our verdicts.
Dramatic pause.
Let us know what you think. Use the hashtag.
Hashtag
Borgo.
It's Borgo's Bogo. Bogo Borgo Bongos. You know what I was going to say?
What?
I was going to say hashtag making bacon pancakes.
Oh, that's another good one. But I'm going to go with Borgo
Bongos. We'll use our own. Bogo Borgo Bongos.
Borgo Bogo Bongo.
Borgo Borgo Bongo.
Let us know what you think about these two alien encounters. Email us, MrBunkerPod@gmail.com.
Email us, BorgoBogoBongo@gmail.com.
We're changing the name of the show to Borgo Bogo Bongo Podcast. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at MrBunkerPod. Find us on YouTube. YouTube search Mr. Bunker's Pod on there. And if you feel so inclined, you have the means to do so, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/MrBunkerPod. For $5 a month, you can get access to the Bunker Discord, 2 extra episodes a month, over 40 hours of back catalog content, sneak peeks, free gifts, maybe. Wink. We won't tell you what. I don't know. I think that's it. Discord. Did I say the Discord? Access to the Bunker Discord. We can chat with Andy and I on the Bunker.
I already know. I don't have to listen to you when you do this. So I sort of tune out.
Yeah, you tune out. Andy, do you have anything else you'd like to talk about or like to say in conclusion with this Borgo Bongo business?
I just want to say if you have the time and you have the means to do so, head on down to Borgo's Bongos, where we're doing Bogo Bongos all day. Our loco low prices, free loco moco for every guest.
Oh, that's lovely, Andy. That's really lovely. Well, hopefully you all you bunk fuckers show up, but hopefully not for the titular Mr. Bunker. Hopefully he doesn't show up, but for my Pruinose. Co-host. Andy Hart. I'm Art Stone saying that was the whole enchilada.
Making bacon pancakes. Take some aliens and have them make a pancake.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Calafato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.